Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Welcome back. Happy New Year. I hope you're all feeling well. I hope you all have a plethora of New Year's resolutions that you plan on breaking this year, you dirty little devils. But what I do have for you coming up is more Danger Cat shows. That's right. January 13th, back on the road. We are heading to Peace River. And then January 14th to Fort St. John. January 20th, back in Calgary for a roast battle. That's right, putting the title on the line. The one that's around my waist. Some little creep was, he's crawling up. He wants a taste at the champ. He wants to wrestle with the champ. Fort St. John, just a reminder, has just been added in that's January 14th. And the January 21st, Rocky Mountain House. January 28th, we're heading to Camrose, Alberta. February 2nd, Kindersley, Saskatchewan. February 3rd, Provost, Alberta. February 4th, also just added, Hanna, Alberta. February 10th, we're in Drumheller, Alberta. And then February 17th, Grand Forks, British Columbia. I've been asked, when are you coming out east? When are you coming out east? We will be releasing the Eastern Spite Tour dates that we're on. Very shortly, we are heading out there probably end of March, early April. Once we have a string of dates lined up, then we will release them to you, the public. And another little reminder, next week, no episodes, no podcasts. I have a trip booked. I am out of here. I'm heading to the mountains. I'm going to zen the fuck out. I'm going to level myself out, brother. I'm going to have myself a little kumbaya on the ski mountain there and I'm gone. I'm snowboarding for a week. I'm taking a little time off. I think I've earned it. All right. We've been going hard, podcasts, live shows. And yeah, your boy's going to take a little break, a little rest, a little fucking, like I said, a little kumbaya time, couple sarsaparillas down my yap. Going to go shake my willy at the local taverns in the ski town. Where am I going? I ain't telling you. I'm just kidding. I'm heading to go snowboarding out in British Columbia and level myself out, man. It's going to be great. Depressing news. No hate mail going into the new year. No hate mail once again. So the end of the episode, we're just going to sit here and stare at one another in silence. For those that listen to the episodes, you're going to sit there in silence because that's what having no hate in the world is like, right? That's what it's like. So at the end of the episode, we're just going to sit there in like a moment of silence of all the peace that this podcast has caused across the waves and plans and planes across the planet. But if you do have some hate mail, we would love it. You know, we got a week in between here, so maybe it'll pile up. If you do have a little bit of hate mail, email me with the subject line hate mail. And the email is unclehack@dangercats.tv. If you can't understand that, right? If your spelling isn't so shit hot and you've been just sending it to the wrong email address, it is down in the description down below. How lovely is that? How kind am I? So nice heading into the new year. I am such a wonderful human being to do such kind things like that. Allow you to get the hate out of your heart, right? It's been a year, 2 years, maybe even we're going into year three. And the craziness just keeps building up, right? And we're going to be talking about a little bit of that craziness. The media this year is not afraid. They're not afraid of you. The Taliban is worried about Andrew Tate's safety. So these are a couple of the things that we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into that, New Year's, great shows. I always like to do a little review. Those who are new around here like to do a little review of the shows that took place on the past weekend there. Danger Room. If you like You know, if you've been to one of our shows and you like more of an experience of, actually, you know what? Our shows are so different than a traditional comedy show, especially here in Canada. Our host is the most vile, evil human that we could put up first, right? Because we gotta, you know, you've been programmed to be upset, right? You've been programmed to fear everything, you know, especially now in Canada, there is a push to fear words, fear your own feelings. You're not supposed to feel anything unless the government tells you to, right? So we like to think of ourselves as our own governing body when it comes to our shows. That's why we put the most fearful man out there, right? So it's complete torture to some as they have to sit there and listen to the most vile jokes you can possibly imagine. Dark, dirty, extreme, over the edge. And that's how we like to start our shows. It's beautiful in a sense. It's artful. And that's a gay way of putting it. And it's complete torture. And now I get to feel as what it's like to be a program director at Global News, a CEO at CTV. You know what I mean? I get to feel what it's like to be the puppeteer behind everything and put the fear of God in people. And I sit back and I watch your emotions because it's impossible for many of you to not have it worn on your face, right? The complete distress that you are in of being in this comedy show. Now the boys usually love it, right? The boys usually love that we put the pit bull Sam Walker out first. But it is if your girl's like a little bit on the softer side, you know, and she's acting up a little bit, you know, and doesn't enjoy the crudeness of the world, you know, doesn't enjoy the brass language that most blue collar gentlemen will use, right? But before they started putting all these rules in place and HR departments to like monitor you, it's like a government inside of the government, right? The working body has to obey by the non-working bodies. You get what I mean? Like there's rules set in place that you have to, it's like Barney's fucking playground all day long. You know, instead of having fun and going down the slides, though, you get to stack railroad ties. That's what you get to do. Instead of having fun with Barney and singing songs, you know, the songs that you do want to sing are too inappropriate. And they cannot be on here because not everybody wants to hear that type of language. Where at our shows, we open it with that language that is deemed appropriate from HR departments. And it, you know, we deprogram you and reprogram you with the danger cat psychology of not giving a fuck. And it feels good and liberating when you leave the show and then you realize like, oh God, I got to go back to that fucking job where I can't see faggot. Ah, took me 9 minutes to say faggot on this show. That's got to be a new record. Time for a little ad read. DangerCatShop.com for all your merch and ticket needs. Also, we just dropped something a little special on y'all. Our comedy album is now out. That's right. Sam Walker, Brett Forte, and myself self-produced and are self-promoting our own comedy album. There's no suits in our pockets with this. There's no labels, no networks, none of that shit. We booked the venue, we got it recorded, and we even edited the whole album ourselves. So the artwork was done ourselves. It's all been, you know, in-house. So if you're interested in possibly supporting what we do and want to hear like some stand-up that us three fucking jerk-offs have done, then yeah, you can get our first comedy album available on DangerCatShop.com. It's $14.99, and yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. We went hard, it's, you know, so if you have a bad review, please, let us know because we love negative comments. Patreon.com/DangerCat69. That's Patreon.com/DangerCat69. Another way to support the show and get an extra episode every week of the Uncle Hack podcast is to sign up to our Patreon. That's right. You get an extra audio and video episode when you sign up, as well as a you get the episode that you're listening to now 48 hours earlier than everybody else. Isn't that great? So you get two episodes earlier. The episode that you know that you're listening to right now, you would get earlier. Isn't that fun? Isn't that great? Plus, every Thursday at 3 p.m., you get an extra episode. Ooh-wee, what a deal. Roast battles. You get all the Danger Cats roast battles, and they are all fucking there. I don't know. Anyways, back to the episode. That's why our shows are different than others. You know, you go to a regular comedy show, and what do you get? You get some fucking jerk-off host up there. That's here in Canada. I think in the States they do it a little different, like the format of the shows up here. You know, the jerk-off, hey, everybody. Anybody celebrating anything? You ever notice that every fucking comedy show, the host has to come by, anybody celebrating anything? Birthday? No birthdays. Okay. Anniversary? No anniversary. Oh, wow. How about a divorce? Hey, who's celebrating a divorce today? Marriages always end up at 50% divorce. You know what I mean? You got to go there and you got to listen to that fucking sewn pussy shut bullshit. God almighty. Difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. And it's not most of the hosts are being paid to do that. And it's just like, you know, I get it. Even the comedians don't want to do that shit. The comedian, any comic that wants to go up there and just be like, how about a divorce? You know, no comic in their right mind should want to do that. Now, being a good host, I get it. Yeah, you go up, you understand it, but you don't enjoy it. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of tasks out there that you understand you have to do. Like what am I trying to think of here? Like in the past, you know what I mean? Like I love delivering pipe. Nah, I'm fucking around. I loved taking all the parts and shit. I was a little bit of a hot shotter back in the day when I was a young lad, and I'd deliver some parts to all the welders and shit like that out in the field. I love doing that because you get to sit there and bullshit. You see some new faces, you get some new jokes, you get to bump into some guys that you enjoy being around, right? But it's like the fucking shit before, like loading the pipe and doing all that part sucked. And I get that. There's always something about the job that you don't like. And being a host, sometimes you don't want to go up there. And you know what? I'm bantering about something that most of you don't care or give a shit about. But yes, wonderful New Year's show. We'll put out some clips and whatnot before the internet shuts down here in Canada. We got Bill C-21 coming down the pipeline. I don't know how that looks for me or looks for anybody, really, in reality. I don't know how Canadian YouTubers are going to sustain their livelihoods from what they've been building over the past year, only for the government to come in and basically override the algorithms to promote Canadian culture. You understand that they want more Canadian culture. The government wants to now control culture. That's great, isn't it? Because they have the greatest sense of culture in a diverse country like this. These idiots that are so tone deaf to everything that people are saying, right? They ignore what the people are actually saying. These people have the best sense of culture inside of the country. That's east from west, right? They understand Canadian values more than anybody. You know, how we dress, how we speak, how we interact with one another, what music we enjoy, you know? What trends are going to stay alive here? Jesus Christ, do you imagine those fucking suit dummies sitting around and being the all controller of culture inside of this goddamn place? Sweet dear Lord, culture is bred through a particular, actually a vast array of things, you know, how the East Coast of Canada has its own culture opposed to the West Coast of Canada, like Vancouver. Alberta has its own culture and even their subcultures inside of those. But no. The government, by overriding the algorithms, they have the almighty sense of where culture in Canada, where it stems from. They listen, you know what I mean? Like you're out here thinking you're fucking cool, right? You think you're cool because you're out here wearing like a, maybe you bought like a Don't Tread on Me, like one of those libertarian shirts from America. You don't, you believe in something quite different. Does that mean like your algorithm is then going to all of a sudden be like, just slowly like lead you into how they want you to think? Is that how that's going to begin? You know, because like all the, everything fun is going to be gone. You're going to have to sit there. If you live in Canada, you're going to have to sit there and watch Lily sing, and Jan Arden's music videos are going to be like flooding your YouTube algorithm. Isn't that great? I won't get to see it because she blocked me, but, you know, that was a depressing day. You know, it's always saddening when the horse girl from Ontario bans you from seeing her content. You know, what did I say? I don't know what exactly got me banned, but I do enjoy attempting to press her buttons or at least trying to get her to react because... There's like these, when these virtue signaling assholes always step to the plate, like, first off, she's built like a fucking, like a, it looks like a beehive stung her all around the body. And it's just just a poof. She's a poof right in front of your eyes. So when you have somebody who looks like a soccer mom that can't refuse a carb, telling you about health and safety, right? Fucking telling you about health and safety, about how you need the vaccine. I think the whole health thing falls apart, you know? I think the whole health thing falls apart. We've had way too much wild shit shoveled down our throats. One of my buddies retweeted for the course of that year to try and like convince us to get vaccinated, you know? To try and convince us to get vaccinated. There was a brothel, where was that, Norway? Somewhere in like one of them Scandinavian countries, a brothel was convincing people to get vaccinated by giving them like a free fuck with the hookers. Isn't that something? A poke for a poke. Not a bad trade-off. Way better, you know, way better than what some of these idiots were doing. Like Dunkin' Donuts was like, if you get vaccinated, you can have a free donut. Ah, yes, health and safety makes so much sense that if I get vaccinated, I can have a free donut. Both things entirely health-related, right? Both things are entirely health-related. It just blew my mind. The hoops in the horse shit that went on, you know? It was like, even you had to wear, remember in the beginning when you had to wear a mask? You had to wear a mask when you came into the restaurant, right? You had to wear the mask when you came into the restaurant and when you stood at the front door, but when you got to your table, you could take the mask off. Even though we're enclosed, right? I don't know how well some of the ventilation systems are inside some of those restaurants, but you know, you're sitting there trapped around all these people. This is before the Vax Pass even came around. You could get into the restaurant by wearing a mask, but as soon as you got to your table, you could remove it. You know what I mean? That made no sense to me. That's like, okay, let's think about this, right? Say you get a date. Say you get a date. I know for a lot of you out there, getting a date is just, that is hard enough, right? That is hard enough. How the fuck, what the hell kind of comparison am I using? This audience, what are we talking about here? What the fuck is a date? I'm fucking around. But let's think about this. you get a fucking date, right? And that date just like skips all the other bullshit. It skips all the other bullshit and is just like, hey, come over and fuck me, right? And you show up to that little fuck date that you have planned with the condom already on. It's already on. You're ready to go. You just got to get hard. You just got to get hard and you're good to go. And as soon as you get hard, you remove the condom, right? You fuck. And then as you're about to leave, you put the condom back on. Does that make any sense? Does that make any fucking sense? Going into a restaurant, walking in, spending about 2 minutes in the lobby before they seat you, and then you get to go sit at the table, remove the condom, gorge your face with deep fried dry ribs, fries, and some sort of like a pasta, a plate overflowing with pasta. It's carb infested, sugar loaded horse shit that you're going to shovel down your yap, all in the name of health and safety. And you put that mask back on right after you bust a button off the waistline of your pants, and you head to the exit, a proud member of society, because you contributed to the health and safety. 2023. Welcome to it. Welcome to 2023. What do we have in store for you? A lot, really. This is what CTV Vancouver has tweeted out, okay? This is fun. Here we go. CTV Vancouver has tweeted out, "We will not be intimidated. A New Year's message from our newsroom." CTV Ethan Faber, the news director at CTV Vancouver. Let's get into this article. This is beautiful. Beautiful. I think I want some beauty. Beautiful. Here we fucking go. So they put up a picture of the CTV logo, right? Corrupt, treasonous, and vermin. Okay? "We will not be intimidated. A New Year's message from our newsroom," from Ethan Faber, the director at Vancouver News. This is how it starts, okay? We're going to read this out, and we're going to have a good time while reading this. And I'll try to not make as many mistakes. "My dad was a little boy in Columbus, Ohio, when some other kids in his neighborhood pried open a manhole cover on the street and forced him to climb down inside. His was the only Jewish family in the area, and everybody knew it. He remembered being terrified in the darkness and damp, trying to escape by crawling through the drain pipe towards the light from the other manholes along the block. But the kids could hear him down there, and when he tried to push his way out, they ran up and stood on top. My dad told us he couldn't remember how long they kept him trapped in there, but the message was clear. Jews don't belong in the sewer." That's how this article starts, okay? This is how this article starts. They're not going to be intimidated. A message from the newsroom. But he wanted to make it clear that his dad got locked in a manhole in the, where was it? Oh, it was a story of the early 1940s. Okay. We'll carry on. "It was that story of early 1940s anti-Semitism that came to mind last February when I looked out the window in the CTV Vancouver newsroom at an angry crowd that had gathered on the street below to protest our journalist coverage of the COVID-19 pandemic," people in the crowd. Here's that, because journalists have like left the idea that integrity matters in the stories that they post out. It has become this cat and mouse game of chasing the most viral story and getting the clicks and the payments. Canadian media is failing immensely right now. They are constantly propped up by government funding and bailouts. So they look pathetic when they're sitting here trying to be like, when we covered this. Yes, because it comes off extremely biased. You know what I mean? I get it. It's find me a news outlet, right? Find me news outlets where their main contributor doesn't have a bit of... It doesn't even need to be said, you know, a bit of influence on the things reported. And I'm even going off of, you know, very little people stay true to their what they started in the beginning, right? I'd imagine that you got into news or media, being a journalist, because it came with like a sense of pride in the beginning. And then you get there. And you don't have any clue, right? You're totally removed from the general public. You are handed a story, make it a story. It doesn't matter. There is a biasness. Is that a word? Even if it isn't, who gives a shit, right? That comes with Canadian media after the government pads your pockets and props you up so you can live to die another day. That's all it is. People in the crowd were calling us a vermin. One guy even wrote the word on a sign he was holding up. Vermin, you know, like rats in the sewer. It was 2022 and hate had arrived at the door. Dozens of Vancouver police officers stood watch as speakers called for our journalists inside to be jailed, or worse. As the protesters moved to the other local newsroom around Vancouver, week after week, organizers christened their christened. We're failing. Their gatherings with the slogan, the media is the virus. Working in the newsroom, working in the news business has always meant being criticized by people who don't like your choice of stories. But as the calendar flips to a new year, it's hard to not look back as 2022. As a year when the discourse in Canada around the whole journalism in our democracy reached a new low. That's because you're not trusted. You are not trusted because many of you sat there and said, trust the science, get the jab. If your unvaccinated uncle is this, because there was no research, there was no journalism done. You were handed something without questioning it. That's why people are mad at you. You didn't question it. We're not allowed to question it. And when people do, they're villainized by people like this. As soon as you ask questions or you're curious to find a different answer, is there a different answer to this? Because this just seems far-fetched. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the rhetoric that they were putting out during the past 2 years, it just, you wanted to question it. But instead, the media has weaponized, they've vilified any sort of opposing thoughts. So we're stuck in this, like, this constant, there's no open conversation because you get these assholes that amplify what their owners. These are media outlets that are owned. There's profits to be made. There's messages that benefit, you know, let's be honest, the people that do own these news organizations. So what do you think? Whoever has the most money and has these in their back pocket, they control the information. So why wouldn't you use that to your advantage to further profits? You know what I mean? I get it. I totally get it. I understand that. But it's assholes like this that think that they're doing this like brave act. They think that they used the trauma of his father, right? For him sitting in a comfy desk calling the shot. Like his dad went through, that sucks. That sounds just like shitty bullying back in the 40s, right? Because how did he even say his age? Yeah, because, you know, kids were sitting around and they were like, oh, Hitler's youth in the 40s, right? It had everything to do with, like, you know, that's how fucking dumb this idiot is. It was because Jews belonged in the sewer, right? It could have just been flat out bullying, but these assholes, these idiots, this millennial style thinking that they have to tie everything to some sort of identity, this identity politics. It's like, oh, they picked on my dad when he was 4 years old because the other fucking 6 year olds knew that we were supposed to hate Jews. It's so dumb to open it with that. First off, you're trying to make yourself look like the victim right out of the gate, and you just look like a moron. You sound like a moron. You know, the media is a virus, bro. They hate us. But as the calendar flips to a new year, it's hard not to look back on 2022 as a year when the discourse in Canada around the role of journalism in our democracy reached a new low. It was a year when criticism metastasized into hatred and sometimes violence. Not long after the protest at our newsroom, anti-mask mandate protesters spat at reporters covering a march at the Pacific Highway border crossing. Just one of the many similar incidents that took place across the country. While the pandemic mandates have erased, the level of anger directed towards the journalistic profession is still disturbingly high. Okay. Yes. Because here we go again. This is the total disconnect that you have. If, like, the messaging that you've put across for the past, you know, X amount of years, we're going into year three and still it's like, well, COVID-19, you know, is it not over? Are we done with it yet? What are we moving on? When's the climate change? Okay. When are we going to be, are we upset at Afghanistan? What's the next move? What is it? It's news is like fashion. Okay. It's like fast fashion. Right now, the panic and fear settled in the beginning. And then people were kind of drifting off like, this is bullshit. This is stupid. And then it was like, let's throw a curveball at them. We had BLM rise up. George Floyd was everywhere. The media just played to that. And thousands, if not millions and millions of people took to the streets, gathered. No one died from a virus. And then after that, it was like, oh shit, all these people were all together and it wasn't mass deaths didn't take place. People weren't just dropping in the street. They were all together. Ah, right. Well, but that's because it was the right, like January 6th was a super spreader of Corona. And then this over here was like 3 months of like, it was detaining racism. It's huge, vastly different. The virus knows that. It's, you know, the virus understands more than we do. It's like AI technology. They are beyond light years smarter than us as individuals. That's right. That little virus that's floating in the air is going to contaminate your whole household and murder your family. One cough at a time. Understands racism is important. Racism is important enough that it needs to be destroyed before the virus. I don't know if I said that correctly. Racism is important. That's a good clip. We could put that out there. Racism is important. Coming from you live. I said that horribly wrong. Well, it's been fun. You know, racism was first on the list to destroy. And COVID knew that. COVID knew that. So it took the back seat for a while. And he's like, you know what, buddy? That's how good of a guy COVID is. You know what, buddy? Take the you take shotgun for a minute. You know what I mean? You ride shotgun. You kick your feet up. I'll sit behind you in the squish back seat for a moment, but I will be back. I'm just letting you know that. And then following that, then these assholes, it was always something, what you were doing wrong and what they weren't doing wrong. So the profession of journalism has like killed itself in a sense. The profession of journalism is now switching is what's happening. We're going to alternate news sources, you know, somebody that has a different opinion and questions things instead of just they are handed their stack of propaganda papers and they just quote unquote report it to the masses. Nobody's watching CTV news at nighttime. Nobody's other than me reading their shit just to have a laugh at. Nobody gives a fuck. You know what I mean? Nobody pays attention to the news like your parents did, where they sat in front of the magic box that told you everything bad that's happening in the world. They had you scared for your life living in fucking rural Alberta, as if rapists, child molesters, and abductors were lurking around the streets. You know what I mean? They had you terrified. Living in a town of 7,000 people, that somebody in this town, right, is a rogue child molester who's going to steal you and sell you to a sex trafficking organization in Romania. They had you scared fucking shitless. You know? Because the magic box. Because all the way down in Houston, Texas, somebody opened fire at a Denny's. And you're sitting there, and here I am in Tabor, Alberta. I'll use my life as an example. I'm sitting in Tabor, Alberta. I'm terrified. I can't go to a fucking Denny's. I see the logo Denny's, and I think like, oh, well, God almighty, somebody's going to have an M16 in the back of their fucking, you know, Toyota Tercel and open fire as I'm taking down a Grand Slam. I'm about to put deep fried bacon and clog my arteries to hell and back. But I got to sit there in fear because somebody in Houston, Texas opened fire in a Denny's. Jesus Christ. And they wonder, that's how removed they are. They think they're doing well. They've been convinced that, you know, this asshole, I don't blame him. He thinks in his head as the director, he's doing a phenomenal job. I assume so. Most do. Once you get to a position like that, you assume that what I'm doing is fulfilling, correct. I am furthering the human race. We are going to cross a new line and become better human beings for me keeping you absolutely terrified. What a dickhead. And by doing so, I make sure that I put my father's worst nightmare, which has caused him to become claustrophobic of being stuck in a drainage system when he was a wee lad because Hitler's youth was able to escape. They got to Argentina. They were able to claim American passports. They then came to America in the early 40s. And integrated themselves in a small town of Ohio and began rebuilding Hitler's youth to where they as six-year-olds, this is all six-year-olds, right, that did this. I'm assuming the age. It sounds like a young bullying thing to do, but that's not the case. These kids were highly trained and highly capable. Hitler's youth, they actually were the first to invent those hang gliders, and they jumped off a cliff in Argentina and flew all the way to fucking Ohio, okay? They got all the way to Ohio, right? Is that where? Columbus, to be exact. They got all the way to Columbus, Ohio, and seen themselves as the Fifth Reich. They are going to rise up, and that just by sheer chance, the neighborhood that they landed in, a Jewish family lived there. Wow. Incredible. This was not just grade school bullying. This was targeted bullying. You bigots. One of the most common misconceptions, fueling that anger, focuses on journalists, pick the stories we cover each day. Some are convinced that newsrooms take the cues on what to report from corporate overlords or government masters. That's also true. The truth is, story selection in our newsroom and in every newsroom I've seen over the past 25 years is much less conspiratorial. We all get together each morning to pitch ideas, and the best ideas turn into stories. That's it. No puppet masters pulling the strings. Just a group of journalists representing a wide range of backgrounds and interests talking about stories and deciding together which ones to chase. This is a disaster. Drag time story hour. That's what this is. Jason, you need to drag me outside and put me to death. Hey. As for standards and accountability, guided by a newsroom code of ethics, and organizations like the Radio Television Digital News Association, the Canadian Association of Broadcasters, and the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, which are also owned and paid for by the Canadian government, as for bias, every good reporter is allowed only one. A bias in favor of the truth. Ah, okay, so you're admitting... what's the truth and the public's right to know about it? Okay, so what's the truth? Who controls the truth? These are the questions that people are asking. Who controls the truth? You know, because when the truth does come out, it seems a lot of these assholes miss the truth, and the truth skirts right the Twitter files. You know what I mean? I'm sure that there's many, actually, that was handed to a journalist and he put it out there. And then every fucking mainstream media skirted over top of it. Didn't want nothing to do with it, right? Did you hear any new mainstream media cover it at the capacity of a groundbreaking story like that? Like there was collusion in interference in elections? No. We don't want anything to do with such activities. We don't believe in such activities. Someone like evil Elon Musk is evil, even though we used to report on him in the past as being a wonderful, bright individual by bringing EVs, that's electric vehicles, to the forefront, by battling something like trying to diminish global emissions by simply building an electric car. Do you understand me? But now, because he's sort of gone a wee bit rogue, has he not? By exposing some of the evil that's deeply embedded inside of our governments, we must make him a villain to our story. Okay, we won't. Oh, we're almost done this one. And then we're going to move on to the Taliban. The hatred and threats of violence towards journalists in 2022 did have at least one positive outcome. We're seeing newsrooms from competing organizations cooperating and supporting each other in the new and encouraging ways. In Vancouver, the leaders of several local newsroom, including this one, started meeting up regularly to discuss protocols around safety and compare notes and share information about threats to our people. The spirit of cooperation and common cause was on full display in early November as local stations pooled resources and staff to provide live coverage of the funeral for following Burnaby RCMP officer Shaylin Yang. As for working as a CTV news journalist in 2022, the attempts at intimidation often seemed to have the opposite effects. Our reporters dug into investigation, pursued answers and information with a renewed sense of purpose, perhaps because it's so apparent that just like the search for light and darkness, our communities need
high quality journalism more than ever in this age of disinformation. See, that's what's going to be coming down the pipeline is disinformation. Who controls the truth? Whoever has the most money, whoever has the most power, whoever has the most influence. Those are like three key things. And right now, those with influence are those that are going at the story and looking for the truth, you know, because the truth is ugly. It is. These guys aren't giving you the truth. If they were giving you the truth, you would be physically upset. You would be ill to your stomach if you knew the truth about all the past evils that have taken place. Instead, it's covered up. It's a lie upon a lie. It's a government psyop. You know, I am one of those guys. I love talking about that kind of stuff. It's like, what the, you know, I try to just have fun with it. And it is depressing once you start learning that everything is just a false reality. You know what I mean? You move into an area and you think to yourself, oh, I'm in a nice area. No, I'm not saying that the world is it's just perfectly created and human beings are always equal. You know, some people we have it all the same or whatever the fuck kind of bullshit you want to tell yourself so you can sleep at night. I don't, you know, but it is. There are some dark realities out there that a lot of us will never understand and why it happens. But as it gets uncovered, you know, you understand and you learn that these outlets are, they have an ownership, you know, they have an ownership. They're subsidized by the government. They are constantly propped back up because it's a failing entity. It's a failing business model here because nobody wants to read this garbage. You're seeing past it as it's just fear-mongering. It's constant fear, and it's not the truth anymore. It's to keep you scared and controlled. It's very apparent, you know? And then when they get called out for it, and all of a sudden now people aren't scared of them no more, and people are going at them, and they want the truth, then they play victim. They play victim. They fall back on... They're like falling on their own sword right now, and not in a noble way either, to try and escape, like, what's coming at them. People are realizing that the news is... It is a virus. It is a virus that's to keep you scared, make you remove yourself from the community. Don't go hang out with your neighbor because he might be unvaccinated. If he's unvaccinated, he could kill your family. Even though you got 18 shots and they told you you could be protected. But don't get around those people because those people, they probably carry some misinformation. They probably have some disinformation loaded up in their head. How are you feeling not being vaccinated? Feel great. As fine as I do. Don't go around them. Don't kill your family. You don't want to be around somebody that can possibly kill your family, do you? You silly little bastard. That neighbor you've been friends with for 12 years because he refused to get a vaccine. You're now going to throw that relationship down the drain because the TV told you. The magic little screen that you carry around in your pocket that the government tracks you on, which is also proof that they've reported on that being true as well, that the government illegally tracked you. But it's not the government. It's the virus you should be scared of. The virus and that unvaccinated neighbor that you have. That sorry son of a bitch that didn't take his kids and jab them full of this goddamn liquid to protect the goddamn planet. He's evil. Don't you dare bring any baked goods over. Because he's evil. Because the words written on this goddamn article told me so. That's my Alex Jones portion of the show. No, these assholes, they don't realize the evil that they put out in the world. And now that people don't fear these evil words or these evil reportings no more, and they want the truth, and they want them to report the truth. They want to question things. And now, because some dickhead colored a sign and put it outside of the... That's what they're scared of, right? There's no evil. There's no violence. They're just getting yelled at. In Canada, it's not like the States. We're not fucking shooting each other up like it's a goddamn Wild West. It's just a different culture down there. And it's a little tougher to get your hands on weapons up here. And yes and no. You know, there's just... That's not what it's about, though. That's not what these people are after. They want truth. They want to question the articles that are being put out. You know, they want to have that ability because the journalists aren't. Journalists are hand selected when they get to go and interview the prime minister. We've seen it during COVID. It was very, very apparent during COVID that only a selected few journalists were allowed to go in and ask the prime minister questions. And those questions were pre-screened. So you tell me who holds the truth, right? Who holds the truth? Nobody does. Nobody in that sector. We don't know what the truth is. And every time you question it, you get ostracized for asking questions. And that's wrong in my mind. That is completely wrong. You should be able to ask questions, you know, especially when it pertains to your health, your, knock it off, your health, your safety, your livelihood. Why shouldn't questions be allowed? Because you need to be scared. You're not scared anymore. You're not scared of the big bad fucking, what, you're not going to be scared of a goddamn fucking journalist? Let's, you know what, right now we'd be hopping into the hate mail, but some of you assholes just decided that you're feeling good. You're feeling all right. So we're going to move on to our, this is pissing me off. I got to get a new HDMI cord. Okay, so we got a 48-second video here. Andrew Tate, we got audio to it. Fuck off. Controversial internet personality Andrew Tate was detained in Romania after the influencer tipped off the cops to his location. Him and... The self-proclaimed misogynist is a four-time world kickboxing champion. Retarded. It's been banned. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's even like with him, whether you agree with his talking points or what he says or what he's all about, when a majority of news outlets are telling you to hate something, that's when I become, you know what, and this started when I was young, okay? It's like wrestling. I was always fascinated with wrestling. And there was a moment where my eyes were opened up to something different, you know, something I'd never seen before. And there was this like very... it was the most heel moment that like switched how I viewed things. And I was really young. I was really young too. And it was when Shawn Michaels was in Montreal and when he was coming down to wrestle Bret Hart. Bret Hart was the king of Canada, right? He was ruling wrestling. It was our pride and joy here. And Shawn Michaels came out with a Canadian flag and he was like wiping his ass with it, blew his nose with it, shoved it down his fucking pants, did the classic like the old towel in the gooch. He did that move. You know, there was just like, I seen that and it was like, all I could think of, even as young as I was, you know, was the balls on this guy to walk down that ramp and do something like that. Wow. Holy shit. That blew my mind. Okay. And that became like, oh my God, he just got a whole room, not even a room, an arena to despise him. And they're throwing, like, here's the thing is like, they were throwing beers at him, throwing shit at him. And he just kept a smirk on his face. He didn't let it affect him. That's I was getting to that part, but he did all that. And then when people came back at him, it's like, oh, you can get away with this shit, right? If you don't let your emotions get in the way, I understand that it's wrestling as well. Like, don't kid yourself. But he got people so pissed off and he didn't allow any of that to bother him. And I just remember as a kid, I was like, oh, that's as easy as it is.
You don't have to fucking, you know, when Joe Blow calls me a faggot, I don't have to fist fight him in the street. I'm already in his head. I'm already winning the battle. I'm 10 steps. I'm gaining fucking territory. I'm 6 words away from him putting a gun in his mouth. You know what I mean? I can destroy you with words and I don't even have to fight. Beautiful. Beautiful. I like half burped there. I don't know what happened. But let's read the headline here. Taliban reportedly worried about Andrew Tate after arrest. You know, and they say that these guys don't have a heart. You know, that's upsetting. They don't say, they say that the Taliban don't have a heart. You know, that's upsetting. They're worried about this individual that got arrested. That's very genuine of them. Very, very genuine of them. Having friends like these probably won't help, reads the article. The Taliban are reportedly worried about the fate of misogynistic influencer Andrew Tate. I love that they just throw that word around. I love that they just throw that word around. And then on that, and self-proclaimed misogynist, he owns it. He's like, he's the Shawn Michaels of the internet. I don't know if you've listened to any of like his debates or any podcast with him, but nowadays just believing in gender roles makes you a misogynist. You know what I mean? By just saying some truthful shit like women's sports is boring. They are boring. They suck. You know what I mean? Like there are a few that you watch, like female mixed martial arts, big fan of. Majority of like the top four, let's say like you're not watching women's softball. They had a lingerie football league that failed. I don't even know if it exists still, but they're not drawing fans like the NFL. And what's something that we love more than anything in the world? Tits and ass. And you put it in shoulder pads and told it to mow each other over, and you still can't fucking, you know, you can't bring 10,000, 20,000 people to watch the shit. It's just how it is. We love our gladiators. But if you say something like that, in a world that we exist in, that's misogynistic. So it's just weird. He just makes like these talking points of like Western civilization crumbling itself because of allowing, you know, these ridiculous narratives to take place, like humans can be dogs, you know, that trans women, you know, don't have a biological advantage over regular women, cisgendered women in sporting events when it's clear. Leah Thomas, shout out to, you know, we're so good at everything. We can become women and take over their sports. So that should tell you something. The Taliban are reportedly worried about the fate of misogynistic influencer Andrew Tate as he faces prosecution in Romania for allegedly, there you go, trafficking women and forcing them to appear in porn videos. A former beauty queen who's been called wifey by Tate claimed that she discussed his arrest and jailing with the Islamic extremists in charge of Afghanistan. They are worried about Andrew Tate. Okay, kick back in. They are worried about Andrew Tate. They are asking us if he's free yet, former Miss New Jersey Samira Khan tweeted Saturday. They say Westerners need Andrew Tate because we are oppressed by feminists. Boys, 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 the Taliban is for the boys. The Taliban is 120% for the boys. You read that right there. Yeah, the Westerners are being oppressed by feminists. They're like, we can't stand you fucking cucks over there. You're pussies. We just beat, you know, your military pulled out. And we're pushing in. Get some. Wow. Samira Khan, former Miss New Jersey, has the direct line to the boys over in the Taliban. It's fucking Talibananas again, lads. You know, they're reaching out to Miss New Jersey. At least fucking, you know, the boys over there in the Taliban got good taste in women. They're like, she is very beautiful. I wish to have her 17th wife. Khan, a self-described anti-woke journalist, later posted a warning she got from Twitter
that said unidentified people from Germany have filed a complaint about her tweet through the network enforcement ad. Network Enforcement Act. There, this entire website is filled with pussies, she complained. This chick rules. Khan is an outspoken supporter of Tate 36, who's being called the king of toxic masculinity and a dangerous misogynist for controversial comments that include saying women should bear some responsibility for getting raped. Last month, Khan wrote that she will continue defending Tate, especially knowing how it triggers leftists. So she's just trolling. Tate retweeted the post, adding in wifey. Okay. I like the New York Post because they just like, they make bullshit out of anything. Okay. RT America shut down in March after DirecTV stopped carrying it in response to Russia's unprovoked invasion of... Yeah, okay, that's enough of that. She is a dime piece, though. You know? Good for her. Oh, the boys. The boys. Isn't it funny that... You know what? I ain't gonna stop until I get to a place where the Taliban brings me over to do a private show for the fellas, you know? I want to become the Taliban's, like, favorite comedian. Imagine that. Taliban just loves, like, I'm over there just doing, like, Biden's gay. Am I right? And it's killing. All the boys are fucking dying. And we're just drinking some chai tea together, kicking our feet up. They're letting me desk pop an AK-47 on stage. And they're like, and it's just fucking awesome. The Taliban is just fucking, we're Danger Cats Comedy, the first to do stand-up in Afghanistan, and it's all fucking, you know, we're just ripping jokes on how gay the West is and how good pussy is in Afghanistan. Holy shit, that'd be fucking tight. That'd be tight as hell. Taliban's worried about Andrew Tate and are hiring... what's that word again? Right-wing accelerationist Uncle Heck and the trio of fucking fags to come over and tell jokey jokes to the world's biggest underdogs on the planet. Woo! All right. I gotta go take a little, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I was going to try and make a stupid joke there to sign off with, but... And here's to another Taliban 2023. Just a reminder, no episode next week. I'm gone. I'm out chilling. I'm doing my thing. Check out the dangercatshop.com for all the dates listed at the beginning. If you want another episode of this podcast, please check out patreon.com/dangercats69. It's a great way to support the show. We just dropped our first comedy album. It's available on our store, dangercatshop.com. That's dangercatshop.com. First comedy album that Danger Cats Comedy has done. It's myself, Brett Forte, and Sam Walker, all our jokes. But we curate. We did it in a different way. It's not your regular comedy album. It's a little fun. It's almost like a little like GTA radio station. If it was a stand-up comedy, you know? I don't know. There it is. There it is. That's what we are up to. We got lots of dates coming up. Going to be a lot of fun in the new year. We're hitting the East Coast, Canada, further West Coast. Yeah, and we'll hopefully see you out there. If things go correctly, to all the American fans, we should be down there sometime soon. Anyway, signing out.